As we come to our scripture for the morning, I realize that we all have different ways of learning, and one thing we ought to do with scripture is learn from it. Those of you who learn to read from a book, there's a book in front of you. It's a Bible, and the scripture can be found there on page 5. If you learn to read from screens, the scripture will be on the screens. If you learn by listening, I'll be reading the scripture. But I suspect many of you still will have problems with, what is this all about? Don't be worried. As soon as I finish talking, Pastor Joe will give us his usual relevant understanding of what this is all about that we've been listening to. A reading from Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 22. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil, continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved God's heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. These are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its width, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. And put the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under the heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of animals according to their kinds, for every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every kind shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten, and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. May these words of God bless our lives.
So two things before I begin the sermon. First, would like to thank Richard. This is his first time to be liturgist for us. And I don't know if it appeared on the screen, but if you got a print copy, you noted that it said the Reverend Richard Rogers, and most of you probably don't know that he's our newest clergy member of our community. So he is an ordained American Baptist pastor, and so I'm glad to have him among my clergy colleagues who serve with me and help out in the ministry. And you will have a chance to actually to hear him preach in November when I'm in Japan. So I hope you will look forward to that. And I will miss that opportunity. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And then for all of you and for the people joining us on live stream, you've probably, if this is your first time, have picked up from Kelly this morning that we finished a summer series on the book of Ecclesiastes, and now we're going off in a whole different direction. And so this summer I left what is called the narrative lectionary, which is my guide that I'm using right now to design what sermons and what text you will hear from Scripture. And so I'm back using the narrative lectionary, and for September and October they're presenting us some rich Old Testament or Hebrew Bible stories that we often don't use too much in worship or hear, or certainly don't hear a whole lot of preaching from. So for a few months we're going to be in these rich stories being reminded of a theme of obedience. And what is God calling us to do, and how is God calling us to live? So we start back in the narrative lectionary on this delightful story of the building of Noah's Ark. And I believe that as we hear about this blueprint for building the Ark, we also are given a blueprint on how to build our life of faith. And you'll notice the beautiful slides that Sandy's put together has picked up that theme of blueprint. If you were paying attention to what was in the background of what you've been seeing, the words, though, that was an actual blueprint for building a structure. We believe that the writer of this text got it so well that you could actually go home and build your own ark. And it would pretty much be what Noah built, and the framing would look something like that. That's a pretty accurate description of what the ark probably began to look like. And they've been able to piece together some renditions of what the completed project would look, and you can use the blueprint that's given to you in Genesis to get a pretty accurate boat, should you ever need to build one. And you might someday, because the conditions of the world that God described are a bit like what's going on right now, I think. Though, remember the end of the story, God promised never to do this again. But maybe God will wake up someday and decide, enough's enough again. So imagine God telling you that this great flood is going to come, and you look up to your sky like we can look today, and there's not a rain cloud to be seen, and living in a place like this, you haven't seen a rain cloud for months to come. You just imagine God telling you in that sky that this great flood is coming. And then imagine God telling you to build this massive boat that in length is a football field and a half in size, and about 3/4 of a football field in width. And there's not even a river or stream near you that's going to float this boat. And that's what God's calling you to do. Now, unlike us who would go to Home Depot and place our order for everything we would need and pick up our tools, Noah didn't have that luxury. But he listened to what God asked him to do, and he fulfilled that call. And so he began to get about to doing his work. And with every axe cut into a cypress tree, that blow shouted faith. With every board he had to saw by hand to make his ark, that sawing movement shouted faith. With every hammer hitting a nail, putting that boat together, that loud thunk shouted faith. With every time he had to take his mop and stick it into the pitch and put it up onto the seams of the boat to seal them, shouted faith. Because that's what it took to build his ark. But I dare say there's something deeper going on in this story if we really pick it apart and look carefully. And I think that's to realize that not only has God given us a blueprint to build an ark should you ever have the need, but God has given us an even better blueprint, and that is how to build a life of faith. So I'm going to help you understand what I mean by looking at three characteristics of Noah that we pick up from the story. First, we're told the first characteristic of Noah is that he was a righteous person. And God sort of described the world back then, and it sounded a bit like my world that I'm living in as I heard the description. A lot of violence, a lot of corruption, people not doing their best behavior. And God said, enough. I don't like these people that I've created. I thought I'd created something wonderful, and they've just gone to you-know-where in a handbasket. It's pretty rotten what these people are doing in this world of mine that I've given them to bless and enjoy. So maybe it's time to start over, you know? Can you imagine God, the Creator, saying, it didn't work. I'll wipe it out and start all over again. If you've ever created something, you may know a sense of that. Potters do that all the time. They're working their clay into their pot, and it just doesn't work, so they let it collapse, and then they start all over again to get the desired product. That's really what's going on in this story. But God said, I got to have some material to work with when I start up again, so I need a righteous person that can help me. And so he selected Noah. And why did he select Noah? All the text tells us is that he found favor with God. What does righteousness mean? It's not a word you probably use a lot in your vocabulary. Probably didn't use it today in a conversation yet. But to be righteous means you're engaged in right living. What does that mean for us? I think it means for us trying to do no harm in our world. You realize that one of the problems was violence and corruption. Noah obviously was above that in his living. He was a peaceful person. He wasn't corrupt. He treated people fairly and honestly. That's what righteous living looks like. And that's the kind of person that God needed to fulfill this next step of God's plan, to start over, to recreate, if you will. God needed someone engaged in right living with whom to work. Could you say that about yourself? Would you call yourself a righteous person? Would God use you today to save the world through your right living as God used Noah? The second characteristic for building this blueprint of a life of faith is that you must walk daily with God. We were told clearly in the text that Noah walked with God. I hope you caught that line as Richard read it for you. Noah walked with God. There are four people in the Bible for whom that is said. So I'm going to help you win a Jeopardy prize with this, because you probably don't have a clue who the other three are, and you probably couldn't have guessed all four. So let me tell you about this biblical quartet who walked with God. The first, I'm going to give them to you in their chronological order. The first is Enoch. Probably don't know anything about Enoch. What you need to know today is that's Noah's grandfather. So he probably learned a little bit from Grandpa, don't you think? Noah is the second one who walked with God. Abraham is the third one identified who walked with God. You're going to get to encounter him next Sunday. And the fourth moves up a bit in the biblical story, and that's Zechariah from your Advent and Christmas stories, the father of John the Baptist. Those are the four people in Scripture clearly that it states these people walked with God. Now I want you to think about walking for a moment. There's the kind of walking that Patricia does most of her time, which is speed walking. That's not what we're talking about. You can't have any kind of conversation or relationship with someone when you're out to break a record, right? She verified that. if you're trying to get to your destination, you're trying to get into the grocery store to get your shopping done and get out, you're probably not going to pay any attention to the people around you. But to walk with someone is quite different. You have to walk at a little bit slower pace. You have to get into their stride, and their stride has to match your stride, and you have to walk together, and you can carry on a conversation when you walk that way. And you can begin to get to know one another when you walk with someone. And you begin to see things around you a little bit more because you're focusing together. There's some great benefit in walking with another person. It builds an intimacy. There's a slowness to it. You become more aware of your surroundings, and you're more in tune to the conversation. So think about Noah and God walking together. Isn't that a beautiful image? Well, it doesn't just have to be Noah. We could add you to the list of quartet and make it a quintet. You could say there are five people who've been known to walk with God. And if you do start doing that kind of walking, you're going to find today you're going to walk with your friend. Well, you enjoyed it so much, tomorrow you're going to walk with your friend, and you enjoy it so much, you're going to continue this habit of walking with your friend. And before you know it, you've built an amazing relationship. You can listen and hear and learn from each other. If you want a blueprint for faith, learn to walk with God on a daily basis. And you won't ever have to say again, I'm not sure what God's saying to me or what God wants me to do, because you will know, because you're walking daily with your friend named God. The third thing I want you to learn about a characteristic for building a life of faith, this is the final point of Noah, is obedience. He was called to a life of obedience. I started by telling you, God said there's going to be a flood, build a boat. Noah had two choices, didn't he? It's the choices you and I are always presented with. They're simple, yes and no. He could have said no. He should have probably said no if you thought in his own moments of sanity, right? Now you have to think, what did his neighbors think of Noah at this time? What if you go home today and you tell your neighbors on your block that God told you a big flood's coming and you're going to build a boat? More than likely, most people would have said no to this cockamamie idea, right? Especially when the sky looks like this and there's not a cloud to be seen and it hasn't rained for months. What good's a boat going to do us? But Noah said yes. He didn't question. He just simply acted out of faith. It's an act of obedience. How many times has God called you to build some boat? A boat to help others. A boat to make the world a bit different. A boat to touch someone else's life. A boat to build for the journey, as the choir said. You have options every time God puts an opportunity in front of you to say yes or no. The obedient voice says, yes, God, here I am. And that's what Noah says. And Noah's act of obedience allowed him to save the world as a partner with God in what God was about to do. It's an incredible blueprint that we are given. And all it takes is one person to do the right thing. One person to say yes to God who can make the difference. And you can be Noah as well. If you take this blueprint and build your life of faith upon it. Just think of the power of one. We could spend all day talking stories of one person who's made a difference. One biblical story I can think of is that young boy who showed up at Jesus' teaching moment with his lunch pail. Because he had enough sense to pack lunch and nobody else did, a multitude got fed. I think of one seamstress who was tired on her feet that day and refused to give up her seat on a bus. And that one tired woman changed America. I think about a man you don't know, probably never heard his story, but you may know what he did. He was a British stockbroker at the time World War II broke out. He was the brain behind the British Kinder transport that saved 669 Jewish children from possible extermination before Hitler closed the borders. One man saved 669 children's lives. I'm going to tell you a story to end with a woman that I met in the East Valley in my hospice work. I'm going to change her name to Mother Martha. She was an elderly woman, the end of life, obviously, when I met her. And she lived in a boarding care, but what was unusual about this, it was her boarding care. That had been her one of her ministries. She had opened the place up and run it, and now her staff had the opportunity to care for her. And I was sitting there on my second visit, and two or three people came to the door wanting food. And the staff would get up and leave and come back, and I assumed they'd gotten some kind of food. And finally, I said, can you tell me why everyone's coming to your door wanting food? This is not what happens at a boarding care home. And they said, well, let me tell you about Mother Martha. If you go in her garage, you'll see what goes on in there. This woman, 20 years ago, was concerned about all the hungry people in her neighborhood, the neighbors who were struggling to get by, the people who were just on the streets looking for some food. So she, on her own, created a food pantry. It rivals anything we've got upstairs. And she started simply feeding the poor and the struggling people in her neighborhood out of her garage. One of my subsequent visits, her grandson took me into the garage. I was bowled over by what I saw. And this was in the fall. And he said, we're stocking up for Thanksgiving. We're going to feed 100 families Thanksgiving dinner out of my grandmother's ministry. One woman saying yes to God. All it takes is having a blueprint of faith, righteous living, a daily walk with God, obedience when God tugs at your heart and asks you to do something that you're going to stand up and say yes. And if you want to build an ark that will carry you through life, those three things are on your blueprint. Amen.